Because everybody has his own geographical area of life where he will possess. That's why I don't try to possess business. Ask my wife. We were talking business, talk finish. All right, discuss with my wife and talk with Yinka. That's why I turn my ear away. Why? Me, I like to possess ministry. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's my primary concern. That's the main thing. Once it's teaching, we can possess that one together. Once I bring it, let's bring this one. We'll now go and we'll buy these cars and import them and start selling. And then we'll give this one out on higher purchase. I tell my wife, are they here? It's good. Go and listen. You cannot want to hear again. The talk is getting too plenty. Those who have spoken with me know I have plenty of ideas. So plentiful. But I've realized that I can't possess everything. Do you understand my point? And you don't just be trekking recklessly thinking you possess everything. There are things you can't possess. Each man has a gift. Each man has a call. There's a direction God expects your life to flow in. So that time, that brother used to annoy me with that thing. But he was senior to me. I couldn't say anything. Then he had a second hang-up. Also very annoying. He believed if he didn't have plenty of money, he shouldn't marry. He didn't say it like that, though. He said in such a manner that sounded righteous. I have to have enough money to take care of her now. I mean, the thing was very annoying. And what was more annoying was that we tried to correct him. It was always argument. And you know, have you ever spoken with people who are not listening? They're looking at you like this. Oh. They're not even blinking. That is, they're not blinking. They're looking at you like this. But you just know they are not listening. Ah, in fact, I'm telling you that I'm remembering many of them. There's one man of God once I went to go and beg him, say, "Oga, this thing, this attitude is not good." I knew he was not listening. I came with the word of God, not vexation, not argument. That's sad. No. This thing, that impression you have of things is not right. This is what God is saying to you. Was just looking at me like this and smiling. And I told my wife, he's not listening. There's another preacher I know. I explained to him, this is not how to do ministry. And the argument all the time is, no, that is how to do it. But the Bible says, another man told me that, even though the Bible says we have to be wise, that God has called us does not mean we shouldn't use our sense, so we have to be smart. And there are times you just give up. Let me say this to you. No matter the volume of knowledge you pack inside the head, you get to an obstruction, you will not be able to move beyond it. If God sends you a word and you are arguing against that word in your life. Now, some people argue for years. And some argue with that word for their whole life, the rest of their lives. And you start wondering, is it that the word does not work? It works. Except that, you know, one thing I've noticed about God is very kind, but he can also be very ruthless. That is, not caring who gets damaged, not caring. Listen, what do I mean? Israel annoyed him. He told Moses, move back. I'm going to destroy. How many of them? All. Moses was embarrassed. Like, excuse me, destroy who? These people that we did these 10 plagues to bring out, you killed all the prime young men in Egypt to free them, then you kill them here. And Moses said, what would they say about? But I think Moses was thinking more than what they would say about God. God, did they ever see you? Was I not the one that was talking? That is the point I'm trying to make, is that God can be really ruthless sometimes. I'm not kidding about it. He said, let his name not be. Say, don't worry, I'll repair my name later. That the damage you're about to do to my name with this your stubbornness is worse. All right? Is worse than the one you are using to pray. That God, why should people say, let them say, I will correct it after. I will bless somebody else to correct the impression. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when we are stuck in one point of disobedience, every other thing seems not to work. Because God says, I don't mind. I must correct this disobedience. He said, I don't mind. This disobedience, I will correct it. So you see a man having the word of God, praying and doing everything. God said, forget him. 25 years, let him be on that spot. Leave him there. Leave him there. That's why I told you, listen, don't judge the veracity of the word of God by anybody's life. Don't. You don't know the word that fellow is arguing with, which is the reason why God has bolted him to one point. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. Remember what I said? Of course, the general word, but I just don't want to think about the general word. Now, each person, Jesus said, one thing is needful. And I'm applying it like this. Each person gets to a point in life, it's just one thing. Not two. It's an attitude of the heart, usually. That's how it is. Like I was telling my friend that time, his own was that, no, if you don't make it here, in fact, that this is the easiest place to make it. And I tried to explain to him, not necessary. Now, the reason being that, you know, there's a way it is. Job offers could come up elsewhere. But once they were not in Lagos, he wouldn't even consider them. I felt like saying, bro, the richest men are not in Lagos. Are you getting my point? They're all over the place. You go to Lagos, you see rich men. You go to Ogun State there, they are there. You come to Ondo State, they are there. Which state is next? Edo. If I'm coming down this line, they are there. Delta, they are there. Anambra, they're full. Enugu, they are there. Keep on going. There's no state in this country where they're not there. Oh, do we need to talk about people are hung up on, if I don't go to America, I will never make it. Many stories of human beings. One brother that time, a guy used to pray. Anytime we slept over in our house when I was in Lagos, I was staying with my auntie that time. If anything happened, they had to sleep over. Sometimes we share room or, you know, you will, at least when he wants to pray. Naish. The guy will pray. Typical Pentecostal prayer. Can pray like that for 1 hour. Wake up in the morning, he's praying. He's always praying like that when he has to pray. And then if I'm reading any Kenneth Hagin book, I see him. Any book I'm reading, this I will be stepping over my shoulder. Literally, like, I'm reading like this. So. You come behind me like this. And you know how annoying that thing can be? He said, over your shoulder like this. So I said, look, let me just go and brother S. Brother S, leave me alone now. Let me read my book. He said, thank you, wait now. You can't just be reading this. So finally, okay, take. Go and read it and give me after 2 days so I can have peace. I used to buy books a lot. Anytime you saw me with a book, especially Kenneth Hagin, he would come. This is how he would follow me, but I would change position. He couldn't just help himself. I was okay, take, go and read. But I noticed for a long time, this man wasn't just making any progress of any form. He was just hanging around my auntie, trying to, because she was a businesswoman and all of that, you know, do small jobs here. So one day, we asked her, say, auntie, why don't you just try and help this guy so he can, you know, settle, you know. He said, I'll try to help him get a job. Because she knew people. She could help him get a job. Small, but he said, I'll try to help him get a job. But he said that those ones don't pay. The money they pay is not much. That the money is small. That he's waiting. Let me just explain everything for you. That he's waiting for a big deal to open so that he'll just get plenty of money at a go. Boom. Last I knew, he had turned at least age-wise 40. God is my witness, I'm not lying to you. And he was still doing like that. And he liked to drop names. Oh God, he was a master name dropper. And he was very foolish. I'm telling you, he used to say something that's so annoying that at your age, you can't believe. I was a young boy, my early 20s. I couldn't believe some of the things this man would say. The annoying part was that when it came to prayer, oh my God. That's how I used to pray. The rest of them in the house would go and laugh in one corner. And yeah, couldn't I said, is it not the same word of faith? You would take the Bible and the Kenneth Hagin books and go after them aggressively. I said, what is going on? My auntie said, I tried to get a job for him. He said, no, the money is not plenty. that when he strikes a deal, boom, he doesn't realize that life is not about money. It's about being productive and being a blessing. He refused to learn that one. And for that reason, all the days I knew him was over a year, if not, a year and a half thereabout. That's how he was just on one spot. Then finally, one day, we didn't see him again. I remember it was a Christmas. He came to the house. That Christmas was New Year. And of course, you know that season, there were plenty to eat. So we all ate, shared food and all of that. And that was the last day we saw him. My auntie was so worried that what happened to this guy? So sent the driver and some of her workers, go and look for him. Finally, they found him where he was staying. I mean, it was hard work to find him. But they finally did. And what did he say? Why did he stop seeing him? His auntie wasn't helping him. The doors were not opening. Somebody tried to help you get a job. But you had this thing stuck in your brain. That money doesn't come small. It's supposed to come well, suddenly. You know, suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. You know, the way we Pentecostals like to do it. He was waiting for a suddenly anointing. If some this kind of preachers, they did not do that time, they would have finished that guy. Today I'm coming with a suddenly anointing. Somebody say suddenly. Right now you remove your trousers and your belt and sell it and give a suddenly anointing offering. You can be sure he will have done it. Trust me, he would not have gotten anything. Because life has a particular order. And that order was not attractive to him at all. And God is not going to change his rules because of you. You know that, my son. He doesn't like to take things step by step. So, Michael, erase the step-by-step rule of life. Seed time and harvest. No, he doesn't need seed time and harvest. He needs desire time and sudden miracle time. So, create his own planet, his own universe, only him. Let his life be about money and sudden breakthrough. Doesn't have to bless anybody. Just create his own universe for him. God will not do that for anybody. I've told you. It's a matter of fact. That's why the world sometimes looks like it's not working. It's not because it is not, but because God comes again and again with correction and said, one thing is needful. This is the area of Abraham. I know you're a nice guy. I know. You left your father's house at the age of 75. Yes. Not many men will do that. Thank you. I appreciate you. In fact, a good guy. Now, Isaac. Yes, that Isaac matter. How many years now? 24. Fine. But one thing is needful. What is that? Strangers must be entertained. Say, Lord, the family I come from, we like to live in peace. We like to have our things quiet by ourselves. God said, okay, we'll see next year. If you go and check the Bible, it's a yearly visit. You know, remember the parable of the tree that was not producing fruit? It's come back next year. And one day they will kill Sodom and Gomorrah, burn the whole place. The angels are not passing that way again. They will relocate Abraham again, just to get the point. But if Abraham liked, with being nice, listening to God, following him, waiting for him for 38 years, 40 years, God will say simply to him, until strangers are entertained, you are not going anywhere. I said to you before, why did Abraham wait for 25 years? It was simply because it took God that length of time to build what he needed to build in him to be able to release Isaac into his life. That's it. That's why, listen, you can't be too busy as a Christian for learning the word of God. That is, you can't be so busy that I don't have time. No, because that's how you get to one spot. Because the only way God can change you is that he infuses his word into you. That's what helps you overcome that particular situation. That heart attitude that does not allow Isaac to arrive. That's the only thing. And that's why, having read the scriptures, I realized one of the best prayers in the Bible, well, two of them, David prayed it, Eli also taught us to pray it. He said, Eli is alive. He said, that which I see not, teach thou me. It's a very serious prayer. In fact, you can join it with this one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The one David said is that search me and try my, see my inward parts, if there's any hurtful thing inside me. Very important prayers. Why? Because these are the things that just, with all the anointing, the praying, the confession of the word, this is your blocked release of power. Boom! Now, I started by saying that how we break through in life, really, is to uphold the word of God. I was going somewhere, but I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to say this. And what I wanted to do, probably do it again next time. Alright? And I started by saying that, listen, we must never argue with the word of God in our lives. Any place we get to and we're arguing with the word of God is a point at which our progress stops. That's the point I'm making. What do I do? Let me just add this one to it, and I feel like closing after that. We'll close on time today. What do I do if the word of God comes to me and I know? Remember, I explained that the word is very, very personal. That it appears like this is what God said I should do. Instead of arguing with it. What I mean by arguing with it, actually? Instead of explaining around it, why it shouldn't be so. That's all. Instead of arguing with it, what do? I pray about it. I take that word as a prayer point. Don't forget where it started from. Prayer and personal purification. We explained that when that word comes, you have to go to the cross, but the cross is painful. Don't argue that these human beings, they may not even appreciate it. If you need dying for them now, how many of them will even believe? You know the way it is. So I explained it. That was how Jeremiah preached that time. He preached, Lord, who believed? Lord, have you read Isaiah chapter 45? Have you read it? It's there. Isaiah preached, who believed? Dying for them may not really be worth it, though. The summary is that you don't want to take the pain. You know, people start arguing around. The summary is that he doesn't want to take the pain. How many cities have they cast me out of that I'm preaching for them? Even these people that say they believe, either they have preached more hard doctrine, all of them left. Peter and Co. will pray for them. What's all this story? Because I don't want to go to the cross. People do it a lot. After all, maybe assuming, you know, I like talking about preachers, usually towards the end of my messages. God says, go and preach. And after all, the money you are making from this business and this job, if we share it, it goes around. It does better for the ministry. So I explain it. Giving all kinds of excuses. It is better, you know. It's not good for a man to just be dependent on the ministry. It's not. So I explain everything. The summary of it is that you don't want to do it. Instead of arguing, even though it may be difficult, it's simply to take, instead of arguing with it, take it into the garden and pray about it. You know we are going to do it. That prayer is not God, can you change your mind? It's, we are going to do it. But right now, we don't have the power to do it. So we'll pray about it until we can do it. Abraham, entertain strangers. Lord, these places, they are dangerous. So any man heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah, maybe a suicide bomber. Well, if we are supposed to be entertaining strangers every night, Lord, I don't like entertaining strangers normally, but it looks like it is crucial to godliness. Therefore, give me the peace of mind that helps me. Do you understand? He prays about that until one day he has already brought the strangers in. They have killed the fatal calf before he realizes that they are strangers. Are you getting my point? And that's what is called grace. Grace is when I make up my mind God has to be obeyed. But I can't obey him by my strength. But I pray till his power is released to form obedience inside me. That's what grace is. Again, that's the advantage we have as Christians. We pray. Don't forget what I said. Forget the Satan. In fact, I think Satan has been well rebuked in Nigeria. Even if you wanted to rebuke him, just say, I don't have time for you. Let me just borrow small rebuke from MFM. Take. That is... I don't get time for talk. Just if you're, bro, give me small rebuke. We have so rebuked Satan. Are you getting the point? That there's abundance, excess rebuke in the air. There's no rebuke to carry Satan for the next 1,000 years. So don't worry about him. That's what I explained. Worry in quotes now about yourself. Worry in quotes now about your own power to obey. Worry in quotes now, you know, worry is not good, but you know, maybe concerned about, am I obeying the will of God for my life or I'm not? Am I still arguing with the word of God that has come to give me direction? Am I still arguing with it? That's what should be your concern. Forget Satan. He can't hold you back. What did I say? Say, Satan can't hold me back. Satan cannot hold you back. Yeah, he cannot, he cannot, he cannot, he cannot. As long as the word of God is obeyed and lifted up in your life, Satan can never hold you back. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Now let's get back to what I wanted to say. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, I started by saying, why I said this whole thing? Why before the Holy Spirit moved me in that direction? I then emphasize the fact that what we must do all the time is what? Lift up the word of God in our lives and never argue against that word, no matter how what it seems like. That's the assignment. I said life is a battle of what?
Words.
That's what life is. So every day, you must take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and wield it over your life. That's what it is. And that's why I recommended that book. So let's just take a few scriptures. And we'll just do 5 minutes, we're out of here. The Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet. We take this and then we're out of here. Now, there are a few scriptures which is quoted here. The confession is about God's abiding presence, and I want us to just take it together. Once we do that, we close. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the Lord Jesus said, he said, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And David said in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He said, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And David also said, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the cover of thy wings. He said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now these confessions are about God's abiding presence. And I want us to take it together the way we normally do here. Everybody just say after me, say, God's abiding presence will be with me and make the difference in my life. Say, the Lord is with me. I will not fear. His presence is felt around me. And I will not be dismayed. My eyes are on him. Therefore, I will not see shame. Say, the Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my strength, and the Lord is my help and helper. Say, my hope is hinged on him alone. He will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Say, my tomorrow is better than my past. My tomorrow indeed is better than my today. And now listen to this. And my past is of no negative significance to my destiny. I say that one all the time. Christians, you realize it. You don't have any ancestral curses. So. What did I say?
I don't have.
Listen, I don't care anybody who died and saw vision. One man wrote a mail and said, that video, God really spoke to those people. It doesn't concern me. Whatever God spoke to those ones, spoke to them alone. God does not send people to hellfire because they use jewelry. It does not. I quoted enough scripture for anybody who has eyes to see. Nobody can tell you stories. I went somewhere. I saw one girl. She was in trouble. Why? Because her great-grandmother was a witch. And the spirit of witchcraft was in the family. And this girl has been a Christian for 15 years. And the witch was... Listen, that girl was never a Christian. But she was a stupid one. I'm going to use stupid testimonies to harass my life. If anyone is in Christ... All curses are passed away. Jesus became a curse for you. All your problems were nailed to his cross. I hope you are hearing what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
I told you, don't argue with God. Don't argue with the word of God. It creates confusion in your life. You won't have direction. He said, the last 5 businesses I started, they all collapsed. That's how come I knew there's a curse in my life. The Bible said the righteous man starts 7 businesses and they collapse. So what you should do is start 2 more quickly. So you can complete the 7. And the Lord cannot raise you up. Problems are not a sign that a Christian is cursed. There are many reasons people have problems as believers. Many. One is because they believe that they have problems. That is one very important one. Number 2 is that they don't understand that some of the things they cause problems are not problems. A broke student does not have a problem. It's just a student.
Yes, sir.
Yes? They pay you salary for being a student. Why should you be broke unless your father is rich? I mean, what do you mean like a curse in my life? It's no curse in your life, my friend. You're a student. A young man that doesn't have plenty of money is not cursed, just young. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
So nobody's coming to harass me, say that one preacher came and saw. Look, let me tell you. Did he not use money to cast do deliverance? He too is broke, my brother. Both of you are broke. The guy is looking for money. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. It's important you understand that and live like it. Let's say it again. Say, my past is of no negative significance to my destiny. My sins are forgiven. My transgressions are blotted out. The blood of Jesus speaks mercy on my behalf. I am established on the path of righteousness. Goodness, mercy, favor. These things accompany me. I prosper wherever I turn. I have fullness of joy. And I have pleasures of his presence forever. Grace delivers the influence of heaven to me. I am protected and assisted. I am comforted. I have the oil of ease. Nothing is impossible for me. I hide in the cleft of the rock. No evil eye can see me. And no evil hand can touch me. I am content with the joy of God's presence. Say this like you believe it. Things can only get better for me.
Because God is for me.
And nothing can be against me. Say it. I have life abundant.
I have life eternal.
I have life abundant. And I have life eternal. God loves me and honors me with the joy of his presence. Say it, I am fulfilled in God.
I am strengthened in Christ.
God is my source.
God is my resource.
I am a blessing to all that I encounter.
I am blessed
in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just wave around and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for enlightenment. Just pray this prayer quickly. Say, Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me in light of what we preached earlier. If there is one thing that I'm arguing with you concerning that is not allowing my life to move beyond a particular point, reveal it to me and give me a word of correction and the grace to overcome that obstruction. Which is the grace of obedience. The grace of obedience, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Say the grace of obedience. Just say to the Lord, the grace of obedience, I receive it in the name of Jesus. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Enlightenment, direction, clarity of purpose. Enlightenment, direction, clarity of purpose. I receive it in the name of Jesus. 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 I receive it. Wisdom is my portion. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord is good. Let's quickly share the grace in fellowship. Surely, God's goodness and his mercy will follow us. I declare to you again that you are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I speak to the rest of this week concerning you, that favor fills it for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Closed doors, they open for you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, I say that when you travel, you will be safe.
Amen.
And when you return, you will be safe.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.